KNOM Update News, I'm Lorelei Kinneen, and it's 9:02. The State House gaveled in to the second session of the legislature yesterday. The Senate followed suit about an hour later. Usually the first day of the legislature is reserved for meetings and ceremonial duties, but yesterday's session came with big news. House Minority Leader Beth Curtula will be resigning from her seat. The Juneau Democrat has been chosen for an ocean policy fellowship at Stanford University, which begins this spring term. Curtula made the announcement during yesterday's House floor session.
It's really hard to leave this quickly. It wasn't the way I would like to do this. I know it's going to cause some hardship and it's going to cause some hard feelings. My hope is that people will know that this seat will be filled by somebody incredibly capable. There's a long line of people after 15 years.
Her resignation is effective January 24th. The Democrats chose Representative Chris Tuck of Anchorage as their new minority leader. He has previously served as the minority's whip. Democrats are also expected to shuffle their committee assignments because of the vacancy, with Tuck leaving House Resources and Scott Kiyosaki of Fairbanks taking his spot. Curtula was first elected in 1998. She served as minority leader since 2006. During her time in the legislature, she championed the now-defunct Coastal Management Program and sponsored legislation curbing cruise ship pollution. She said the fellowship with the Center for Ocean Solutions fit in line with those interests.
Oceans have been part of my life for a long time, from my work at the Attorney General's office to just living in coastal Alaska, to being honored to sponsor the first cruise ship bill, and I've always had a special place in my heart for these issues.
Juneau Democratic Party officials will provide Governor Sean Parnell with a list of nominees for Curtula's seat. Parnell then has 30 days to make an appointment. The Coast Guard's operation for the year is Arctic Shield 2014. Last week, Coast Guard Admiral Thomas Ostebo visited Nome and outlined the branch's plans for Western Alaska this summer. Nome should expect a regular stream of Coast Guard ships pulling in for supplies, fuel, and crew changes. Expected vessels include buoy tenders and cutters, particularly the Alex Haley. Ostebo says the docking pace should remain consistent with last year's rate. In Barrow, the Coast Guard will station a buoy tender and a national security cutter offshore. Also, they will open an emergency response helicopter facility to aid industries and communities in the North Slope. If Shell Oil Company receives drilling permits for the Chukchi Sea, a Coast Guard ship will remain on the drill site at all times. In Kotzebue, the Coast Guard will use the air facility as an as-needed basis for deployment and crew swaps. In Port Clarence, the Coast Guard will port a patrol boat. And this ship will monitor the Bering waters, respond to offshore incidents, and aid local vessel boardings.
So you can expect to see a lot of Coast Guard folks again. Hopefully that's a good thing.
Furthermore, the Coast Guard will conduct disaster and oil spill response training in communities along the western coast, including Nome.
Being able to speak that language is probably the best supportive training that a local community can have. It gives you the geography, the physics, the map of how we're going to respond. It tells everybody what their role is going to be.
While in past years the Coast Guard focused either on the Arctic or on Alaska's western coast, Ostebo says this summer the Coast Guard will be patrolling both areas.
Next summer we're going to kind of have to keep our foot in both places because the threat remains in both places.
That threat stems from potential accidents like vessel collisions, oil spills, and situations requiring search and rescue. As Arctic activity increases, so does the risk for incident. Overshadowing oil and gas extraction, Ostebo's top concern is the unregulated increase of traffic through the Bering Strait. Last year, Ostebo says the Bering Strait saw the highest number of ship and cargo traffic in the Strait's history, and the Coast Guard expects an even higher rate this year.
When we have as much traffic as and the increase in traffic that we're seeing take place in the Bering Strait, two ships colliding with each other, a ship running aground on Little Diomede, a ship losing power or having a fire or those kinds of things are really the biggest concerns that I have as I look to the threats in this area, and the Coast Guard needs to be here to support that.
Ostabo says the Coast Guard and its Russian counterpart are drafting voluntary regulations for vessel routing and reporting through the strait. The voluntary standards should act as preventative disaster measures until the International Maritime Organization passes laws standardizing movement through the passage. A polar code for shipping vessels traveling in the Arctic could be agreed upon this week by a committee with the International Maritime Organization. Right now, insurance for vessel owners sending ships into the Arctic can be very expensive, and an international agreement on standards for safety and construction would be expected to lower those rates. Last year, about 71 vessels traveled the Northern Sea route along the Russian coast, but an estimated total of 1,000 vessels ventured into Arctic waters. And the Yukon Quest will have its smallest field ever this year, with just 18 mushers remaining for the 1,000-mile Fairbanks to Whitehorse sled dog race. Yukon Quest Alaska Executive Director Marty Sturey says late withdrawals are usually prompted by financial shortfalls or concerns about whether a team is healthy enough to complete the race. The previous record for the smallest Yukon Quest field was 21 teams in 1996 and 2005. The biggest field was 48 entries in 1988, although not all of those entries ultimately ran the race. The 2014 race will begin February 1st in downtown Fairbanks. The purse for this year's Yukon Quest will be at least $115,000, an increase from the 2013 pot of $1,000. The top 15 mushers finish in the money. Kawerak and the Caleb Lumen Pungawi Scholars Program, they've announced that Joanne Semikin of Unalakleet is their newest scholar. Semikin, who grew up in Unalakleet, is a junior at the University of Alaska Anchorage. She's majoring in biology and minoring in Alaska Native Studies. The Caleb Lumen Pungawi Scholars Program awards funds to Alaska Native undergraduate students from the Bering Strait, Northwest Arctic, and Arctic regions working toward degrees in the field of marine conservation. The program celebrates the legacy of Caleb Lumen Pungawi by supporting students interested in marine conservation-related fields. A look at the price of gold this morning. Up 10 cents an ounce to $1,241.70. The price of silver at $20 even, up 3 cents. It's currently 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.